Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This morning from that chapter and psalm, as we begin the new year, we never know what's in front of us. We don't know the difficulties, the obstacles, the hindrances, the opportunities that are before us. But there is one who does know. And there is one, I can assure you this morning, that if you are a Christian, he will lead you. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness. You find that there in the third verse of Psalm 23. It says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when you come and you read this book, you soon realize that from cover to cover, God is revealed to us from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation as the one who is the shepherd of his people. And that shepherding of his people never ends. It's even found in the book of Revelation. It's found in glory, found in heaven, where he leads his people into fountains of the living fountain. He is always leading, always guiding. And when you come to the New Testament, you have, don't you, that great statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made when he said these words, I am the good shepherd. And you don't have to be a genius or a biblical scholar to work out then that when you read Psalm 23 and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd," that you begin to realize that Jesus makes the claim that he is the Lord of glory. He is the God of all. He is the one that this book then speaks out. It could not be more emphatic that the Lord Jesus is then the Good Shepherd. And you know this morning that the person who is a Christian is someone who can say this, that Jesus is my shepherd. And I know that when people, perhaps who don't even attend a place of worship, and often when you go to a funeral, thankfully, that there's still this psalm that people look to. And I warn you this morning, there be many this day which will say to you, they enjoy and they find comfort from Psalm 23, but they do not know the shepherd of Psalm 23. And for you to know Psalm 23, you need to know the shepherd of the psalm, which is the Lord Jesus. But that's not my aim this morning. My aim is actually those people who actually do claim to know the shepherd of the psalm and who claim to know the Lord Jesus. And yet the reality is they may claim to know the shepherd in their head, but they definitely don't know him in your feet. They don't know in their walk. They're not those who have followed the Lord. Make many claims, make many confessions, make many perhaps vows, but at the end of the day, if I asked you, where did he lead you last year? What paths of righteousness did you walk? And so what happens is this, is that so often in people's lives, your Christian life stagnated a long time ago, and you've not walked in his ways, you've held back your feet, and whatever you may claim, let me assure you, there is one, and it is definite. When you read the psalm, you can't get away from it. It is part of the whole experience of being a Christian. And those who truly do know the Lord Jesus, as you find here, he leads you in green pastures. He leads you in the paths of righteousness. He walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Goodness and mercy do follow you. But you've not walked. You've stood still. You've stagnated. And you've drawn back. I just want to show you this day from this very verse. For those now, there are two things and two points, and they're very simple. And it's found here in verse 3. He restores my soul. There's a need. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And what you find here is that, first of all, in the negative, that there is a need, and there's always a constant need of the Lord Jesus leading then his people. Because the Bible tells us, and this is what the Bible says, we are all like sheep which have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. And you know that is true for us. We have a propensity in our lives, and the psalmist knows it, and he's writing about how the Lord has led him and restored that which was wrong with him. And although there may be those of you here this day who say, but I've not walked any bad path in the last year, you may have. I've not gone any wrong direction. But the problem is this, you've not walked in his ways. You've not moved closer to him. You've not been led by him. And I can assure you this, there is no shepherd and there is no farmer in this area of Pembrokeshire which would leave their cattle in one field and leave their flock in one field and not move them from one field to the next field or move them from one field into the shed at winter. Because I can assure you this, both are dangerous. You may have walked the wrong path, danger. But if you're treading the same field, that's death to your soul. You'd be polluted on your own waste. You'll have no grass to grow or to eat. And that's not how it is. The shepherd always leads the flock. And it may be, just to put it to you, just for this, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now, it may be that you need to know this once again. You think of all the plans that you've already made for the year ahead. And people do. They're all ticked off. The months you're going to be away, the holidays you're booking, the things that you're looking to do. And perhaps you've led your life like that. You've led your life. And it's not been led by him. And I want you to see here that what you find is that he is the one who actually leads. And when a person becomes a Christian, the problem may be is this, that you've no longer known the leading of God. You've had your plans, you've got your journeys, you've got your trips, and I can assure you that every one of those has not been helpful in one way. And you say, how do you know? Because it's not been helpful to your soul, to your soul. And whatever journey you've taken, you can't come back and say, he restored my soul. But when you see the Lord Jesus Christ comes into one's life, he's the one that you lead. He leads you and he guides you. I can say to you this morning as you begin this new year, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. You say, have you known that? Where you say, I've asked him, you lead me, Lord. You guide me, Lord. And perhaps we've not known that. Or it may be something like this, is that we have known what it is in the year which has been, that we have gone off the path. It is really possible for a person to have veered away from the truth and from the doctrines and from the people of God. And you've gone on a path, you see, which has been wrong. It is possible. And I tell you how you've done it. You've done it deliberately. You've done it in such a way because there's a path which has been for you. I don't know if you've ever walked the Pembrokeshire path. Well, you don't need a map. You just need to follow the trail. A well-worn trail. It's the trail that, has been walked by many. And in the life of the church, you know yourself. There's a path which was before you. A path that your parents walked. A path our forefathers walked. A path the church has walked for centuries. And then all of a sudden you've decided, I'm not walking this path. I'm walking another path. And it happens. And you say, well, how do you know? It takes place and you must be careful in it. You may claim as much as you like that the Lord is your shepherd. But if you're on that wrong path, that's not a claim that you can really make with any certainty. You're living presumptuously. There's no one who has walked another path and been able to make such bold statements. You read Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. And remember the occasion when he left the King's Highway and he walked into By Meadow. Well, it looked beautiful. And it was something which drew his attention. There was something which was easier of the path. But when you find of Christian's misery and doubt and failings which beset him, it happens. I just want to show you, the psalmist knows this. He restores my soul because there's those wrong things I've done. And as I've mentioned this morning, but you know, Chris, I've never walked the wrong path. I've never done that at all. I've kept to the path on which then I was saved. I've never veered from it, from one way or another. But he's not leading you. You've stuck still. You've stagnated in your Christian life. You've halted. You've not moved on. You're in a place which is desperate. And you say, how do you know? I'll tell you how I know. Because the flock has moved on. And you're no longer part of it. You see them now in a distance, further on. And you were there with the flock, and you were with them and worshipping and praying. But now you've drawn back and you can't hear his voice. And when he's calling his flock, you have nowhere to go. You don't know what to do. It's a terrible place to be. But it happens. Ask yourself last year, was it not a step back? You say, but I didn't move back. You never move forward. And if you didn't walk forward, he's always leading his flock. And the more you stand still, the less you hear his voice. But I assure you now, there is no shepherd who does not lead his flock. And so it is that you need to know, even now in this little meeting, you may not realize it, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, who is God himself, who is the good shepherd, who came into this world to call people to himself, the good shepherd who came to lay down his life, the shepherd which rose again from the dead, and the shepherd now who is, we know he's the shepherd at the right hand of the Father. You may not realize it, but even in this meeting, wherever you are, he is speaking to you, calling you, and exhorting you that you would come and you would follow and you would be guided. And he does it in meetings such as this. And he says, he's the one which is in the front and he's calling with his voice. That's how he does it. Now, you may not like even what I've just said, but thank God for this. Could you not do this? That in this church, whatever else you may think of its faults and failings, and people say, Chris, you need to do this and you need to do that. This is not a purpose-driven church. And remember, God never drives his sheep. There's a difference in how they shepherd in the West and they shepherd in the East. In the West, you know of the guide dogs that they have, and they come and they drive them into the penfold. In the East, it is that the shepherd leads them in that well-worn track. And what he does is very simple with you this morning. Just simply by his voice, always by his voice, and you know his voice, it's got that touch of authority on it, a touch of purity on it, a touch of grace on it, a touch of love on it, which says to you, follow me, I'm your shepherd, and this year he's got paths for you to walk, and everyone needs to know of the need of the shepherd leading and guiding, for we're all like sheep which have gone astray. But let me now just say to you positively of what then this means and what this does entail for us this morning, how this takes place and what God actually does in our lives. And in verse 3, it's where he comes, he leads. He leads you by his Spirit. He leads you by his Word. He leads you in the circumstances and the providences of life. And one of the first ways that he leads you, and I want you to learn this, he will lead you in the paths of righteousness by his Spirit. And in your life, what happens is God begins to work on your heart, on your soul, where he draws you in this direction from another direction. And what happens then is that you come perhaps to a place like this, but not only to this place, he wants to lead you, you see, in the path of righteousness, to the Lord Jesus Christ who is righteous. He wants to lead you to the place where you can be righteous. And if anybody ever says to you that they've been led by the Holy Spirit and have never been led to the very cross of Calvary, then you know there's something drastically wrong. Because the first place, when we find here, I'll show you what David knew and where he's going to lead you. First stop is this, the stop where you can know what it is to be right in God's sight. The paths of God are always right. And there's a place, you see, where God makes people right and he declares them right. I want you to know that. Because you're never going to know the final verse, all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, unless you know, first of all, of this righteousness. And when Jesus came into this world, listen what he said. He tells us in Matthew chapter 5, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so he wants to lead you, not in some righteous kind of life, in so to speak, where you are now puffed up with yourself. No, we're speaking of a righteousness which comes from God, the righteousness of heaven, the righteousness found in Jesus Christ, the righteousness given to you at Calvary. He'll lead you there. This is what Paul says. I want to show you. It's actually what David knew too. Paul was a Pharisee before he was a Christian. And he speaks there now of verse 8 in Philippians 3, counting all things but loss. And then verse 9, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but finding him, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And the Holy Spirit will come and he will lead you and he will guide you to the very place that you can know that righteousness of God. Now, David knew this. I just want to show you that from Psalm 4 and verse 1. It's an incredible statement, but I hope you can say it yourself. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. He knew God was his righteousness. That when he came to pray, it wasn't something that he did or something he was doing, but he had that faith and counted that there was something given to him from God. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to Jesus Christ and to faith in him and all that he's done, of his great works, of his living, of his deeds, of paying for our sin. It's a wonderful path he will lead you to. But when he leads you to that very place, the shepherd never leaves you where he found you. Remember that. And the shepherd never leaves you where you were called. He then will lead you in the paths of righteousness. You know what it is to be made right with God, but it doesn't end there. There are these paths in which, you see, one is then to be led. Look, in all your ways, the different paths in one's life. I want to give it to you, for example, the paths of your relationships with God, how to live a life which is right and which is true. The Lord Jesus will lead you into that. It's interesting that when the Lord Jesus Christ taught those disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, he then comes and he leads you then to how you should live. Just going to give you a few of those things in the Sermon of the Mount, where he speaks to you how you should be, you know, faithful to your spouse in your heart. That's where he's going to lead you. And how you should be with your relationships with others, to your parents, and honouring them and obeying them, in your relationships, in your work and with one another. Can you imagine this? He leads you, that you would walk truthfully and truly in your dealings and your word to be your word. And he leads you in how you should deal with those which are your enemies. And the incredible thing is this, is that when the shepherd comes, there is this which he does in one's life, where he is leading you in every aspect of your living and your relationships with others. And they will be right, right. Now, there will be those of you here, I don't know if you read God's word. He leads you by his Spirit. but he leads you by his word. And the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the word of God. And every one of us needs the word of God. Now, I know there may be people in this world and you look up to them, and that person is a moral person and another one is an ethical person. Well, all I can say to you, those people are far better than myself, because all I've ever known, that unless it was for the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have had a moral life or an ethical life, let alone a spiritual life. And although there may be those who always know in their instinct of what to do, all I can tell you is this: every day one needs the Word of God to read it and to meditate upon it. And when you do, even in every situation, when you're dealing in your family life and with others, I thank God that it's every Word of God. Thank you for that Word. I needed it. I was veering off, going here, on that path. And you begin and he leads you. You hear his voice and he comes to you. And you must know that. Do you know there's, he leads you. If you're going to be led by God this year, I think it's Proverbs chapter 4, where it says that the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever to the perfect day. I want you to think of that, because if he is leading you in the paths of righteousness, you're going to be led not only in your relationships, but in the things of God. He's going to lead you ever to the perfect day, to a greater brightness. He is definitely going to lead you to the place of worship, of praise, and of thanksgiving. He's definitely going to lead you to the place of fellowship with fellow Christians. He's definitely going to lead you in the place where you can know more and grow more in the things of God. You can definitely know that he's going to be in the path which is right. Now, is anybody here thinking that God's not going to lead them to a place of worship? Put your hands up. Okay, is anybody here going to say, God's not going to lead me to be part of a fellowship? Okay. Put your hands up. You say, no. If I then am not following in those paths, well, I've known something about my life. I'm no longer being led by the shepherd. And I want you to think of that. Where did he lead you last year? He does lead you. He does speak to you. He restores your soul. It's for your well-being, and it will only ever be right. I assure you, every step and every year in the Christian experience is one which should be closer and swifter in the paths of God and in the ways of God. That is the testimony which he has. Look, he leads you this year in the circumstances of life itself. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy this year. I'm not saying that the path is going to be, hunky-dory. That's not the case. We know from the very psalm itself, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We know, do we not, that there are difficulties we're going to experience. Jesus told us that from the very beginning. But whatever path it is, I assure you, it's right. It's right. And it's never the wrong one which he leads you on. His paths are always straight, and they're always for our good. It's in the paths of righteousness. Now, there be doors which are closed to you, and there be doors which will open for you, and there will be that which you won't understand, but you put your hand into his hand and you trust in him. Now look, it is possible, and it is possible. I've known of people, and the Bible tells us, they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. They may even be thinking they're doing God's work and God's will and God's ways. You can actually do those God things, but you're on the wrong path. It can happen. It really does. And you say, but I'm doing this. No, it's the wrong path. Jesus never told you to go on that path. That's not something found in his word. But I'm praying and I'm zealous. It's not his path. But I assure you this, you can be on his path. And even though you may fall, and even though you may stumble, thank God today that when it's on his path, the righteous man always, he gets up, the shepherd's there, he tends to his needs, he exhorts him in all these ways. There is this year ahead of us, and the wonderful blessing is this, he's going to lead you, if you listen to him, paths that you should walk. Now I want you to look just for briefly for a moment of that last very line. He does this for his namesake. There's a reason why this is going to be done in his life. He is the good shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd, he's a real good one. And as I mentioned before, if you ever want a name as a bad farmer and a bad shepherd in this area, well, you don't have to try hard. People are always watching your fields. People are looking at your cattle. They're looking to see how you farm. And I always remember being on one particular farm, and I'm no farmer by any stretch of the imagination. But as I went down the drive, and on my right-hand side were a flock of sheep within this field, I looked at those sheep and I thought, those sheep are in a bad state. Those sheep need some more grass to eat. Those sheep are not doing good on that field. And you know, even though I am no farmer by any stretch of the imagination, within 2 weeks, the Ministry of Defence was on that field. Someone reported on that field. It's a bad name for the farmer. And if any farmer leaves their sheep in one field and does not lead them, because they will die on that field from their own waste and disease and of famine, and he says, I'm going to lead you for my name's sake. And if you've been stagnant for many a year, if you are his sheep, I got news for you. He won't leave you in that field. He wants to bring you out. He's going to move you on. And he's going to do it not because you're going to be some great, wonderful person in this community, but you're going to do it for his name's sake. And not for our own righteousness, but for his name. Do you know when people look at the church and they say, do you see that church there? It hasn't moved in 50 years. Bad name on the shepherd. When the family look at your lives and the path that you're living, you've gone down. Bad name for the shepherd. When people who are close to you see that you've halted and you're not moving on in the things of God, bad name for the shepherd. And the shepherd says, no, no, I'm going to lead this flock and I'm going to do it for my name, the glory and the honor of my name, because people will know that they've been brought out and they've been restored, and they are following in my ways. Now he does that, does he not? He's going to lead us, and he's going to guide us. It's operative, and it's in our feet. He does it as I said to you, by his voice, only his voice. Some may want to drive you, but that's never how it's done. His sheep know his voice. They will not follow the voice of another. And he says, no, you come to me and you follow me. I can't help but quote that poem, which we normally quote on the first Sunday of the new year, which was given by King George on his address in 1939. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread into the unknown. And he replied to me, put your hand into the hand of him, into the hand of God, and he will be to you better than a known way. And I put my hand into the hand of God, and he led me to the mountains and to the break of the eastern sun. He leads us and guides us.